the General Practice Podcast from Ockham Healthcare, supporting innovation in general practice.
I've got two very special guests today. I am joined by Amy Sissons, who is a business partner and head of innovation and partnerships at Qualitas. Welcome to the podcast, Amy. Tell us where you're a business partner and tell us what your job involves.
I've got two jobs, actually. So I am a business partner at the Thornton practice, which is a GP practice in Thornton Cleveleys in Lancashire on the Fylde coast. And second part of my working life is working for Qualitas Consortium UK, where I am head of industry insights.
What does industry insights mean for those of us who don't work in that kind of sector?
It's really bringing my experience and expertise of working in general practice to an organisation who are an NHS delivery partner for quality improvement, organisational development programmes for NHSE. So it's taking the real world into an organisation who provide support and programmes and development for people working in general practice.
Perfect. And also joined by Dr. Naomi Bennett. Welcome to the podcast, Naomi. So you're a GP partner, aren't you? Tell us about your practice and where you work.
Hello. Yes, my name's Naomi Bennett. I'm a GP partner down in Sutton in Southwest London. I'm also the chair of our integrated neighbourhood team for Central Sutton. And I met Amy and the team when I was doing their Pathway to Partnership training programme as a new partner.
And you just mentioned that you're the lead for an integrated neighbourhood team. Just tell us a little bit about that, just because it sounds like you might be further on than other places. So just do us a brief synopsis of what that is and what that involves.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the integrated neighbourhood teams, they came out of the Fuller Stocktake, which was published a few years ago. And the aim of that is really to sort of bring together lots of partner organisations who are all working in the same sort of geographical areas. And this could be other statutory organisations, so health and social care, public health, those sorts of things, but recognising that we've also got rich resources within our communities with the VCSEs, the community organisations and natural community leaders. So it's trying to bring together everybody within the same patch really to mobilise and support the health and well-being and the wider determinants of health for all of our community.
And so does that mean you end up working like a convener of meetings and kind of holder of relationships, or is there a more structural element to it?
There is a lot of that. And what we're trying to do in Sutton is really be clear on our priorities and what we want to achieve within our integrated neighbourhood team. And the recognition is that different neighbourhoods will have different needs. So we're trying to be data led, trying to see what the needs are of our communities, looking at data as well as, you know, professional insights from people who are working on the ground, as well as community insights. So trying to triangulate all of that information in order to then work out strategies as to how we could mobilise and utilise all of our community assets to work towards a common goal. That is the overarching aim. Obviously, you know, integrated teams around the country are still in their infancy, and we're just really trying to work out how we work together, what that operational framework looks like. You know, the different sectors, how do we sort of meet in the middle? We will all be working in slightly different ways with different priorities, but it's about trying to find that common ground.
Well, it sounds fascinating. So good luck with it. And maybe when you're a bit further down the line, you could come back and tell us a bit more about how it works and where you got to in practice. That should be great.
Yep. No, happy to. That would be great.
So today we are talking about the Pathway for Partnership program. So maybe, Amy, you could kick off and just tell us what's the background to the program and how did it come about?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So prior to working at the Thornton practice, I had a career of working in business change and organisational development. And I joined the Thornton practice in 2014 with a very forward-thinking group of partners, I would say, at the time. And from starting at that practice, it was obvious, or I recognised a need to start looking at how the practice and the partnership operated more of a business and focus on transformation within not only the operational elements, such as quality improvement elements, but also on the development of the workforce and specifically around the leadership team, which was the GP partners, who predominantly had focused on delivering primary care, general practice to patients, but had had exposure with the formation of CCGs into clinical leadership and leading organisations. So Dr. Tony Norton and myself went through quite a transformation programme at Thornton. We are a practice of 13,500 list size at the moment. When I joined, we were 9,000 and we merged with a practice down the road in about 2016, which was the lever actually for the transformation.
And how many partners do you have?
At the moment, we've got 5 partners. We've been through quite a challenging time with a lot of retirements over 5 years. But with our succession planning, we've successfully managed to transition new members into the partnership over the last 5 years.
So the program was for the sort of leadership team leaders who came on board, is that right?
So the program came about when the opportunity was presented for the New to Partnership scheme was launched by NHS England. Dr. Tony Norton and myself have been engaged with Qualitas Consortium through the Time for Care program, which is now known as the General Practice Improvement Programme, where we met Qualitas Consortium as an NHS delivery partner. And we saw an opportunity alongside them for us to share the journey that we had been on at Thornton, transforming our organisation, our workforce and our operations. So we used the opportunity of that New to Partnership funding and the training element of that for people going on to the New to Partnership scheme to be able to share our learning, our experience, my previous experience from the work that I've done in industry to bring about a programme that would enable GPs or new partners into general practice, a programme to support their development, but also their organisation's development over the next period of their journey in general practice for moving from being a GP to being a GP partner and a leader in primary care.
So how does it kind of work in practice? Is it like a leadership development program for individuals, or do you try and take the whole practices who are involved with you?
So when we started out, partnerships weren't seen to be that attractive due to the reduction of GP partners, due to retirement and the role becoming very time poor. General practice has got increasing complexity with how it is needing to be run. We're also in general practice being asked to take on additional responsibilities like Naomi is with leading within the system as well, INTs and PCNs, etc. So the programme itself and the vision for the programme was to look to enable the sustainability of primary care through the development of new partners in GP practices. It was to energise and engage and inspire those GP leaders, combining the tips and tools that we've developed or approaches that we've used, and give a mindset to those people that go on the programme to be able to take those with them through the longevity of their careers. It's not just a leadership programme. It's about developing them so that they can develop their organisation and become lifelong learners, really, of looking at how to deliver general practice and primary care, not just now, but in the future. In order to achieve this, we designed the programme around multiple learner outcomes and developed from our experience from working with multiple practices and discussions with not only my GP partners, but other partners. We looked at a programme that would last a longer period of time so that we could embed that learning throughout the programme. We cover it over a 12-month period. There's 3 main pillars to the programme, each of which has 2 full days teaching, face-to-face or virtual, and then monthly check-in points throughout the 12 months. And the 3 pillars are around leadership, strategy, and operations.
Naomi, you've been through the programme, haven't you? So tell us how you first heard about it and why you chose to go on it.
I became a new partner in 2022, I think, so not that long ago. The New to Partnership scheme from NHS England was still around at the time. And so I thought it was the perfect opportunity to upskill myself into this sort of new and exciting and slightly daunting role that I was signing up for. I always knew I wanted to become a partner, but as we all know, medical school doesn't necessarily prepare you for that business leadership, you know, strategy side of things. So it's something that I was really keen to explore. I think I saw it on social media, actually, the Qualitas Pathway to Partnership training course. And actually, I really liked the fact that there were face-to-face meets. It was conveniently on a day that was non-clinical for me. And it was up in London, so it was accessible for me as well. So I signed up, really. And the skills, the connections, the support, the things that I've learned from that have really kind of set me in good stead to take a lot back to my practice and also my other leadership roles as well.
Were you already working at your practice where you became a partner? Because it's quite a big step, isn't it, from a salary taking a jump then to become a GP partner?
Yeah, it was quite a big step. I was working as a salaried for a year there before I became a partner. And before that, I'd just qualified as a GP. So, you know, relatively inexperienced in terms of general practice. But yeah, I'd always felt like I wanted to have a say in what happens, you know, have those leadership roles, be able to shape the service, shape the practice, and be involved. But as I said before, you know, medical school and even GP training doesn't necessarily give you the skills in order to do those things. So there's a big gap there.
What were the things then you kind of found most useful, like going into the role? I mean, we've spent some time working with new GP partners, and it was different for different people, but there's quite a bit around how do you suddenly become the boss of a load of staff, and how do you understand the finances that sit behind a GP practice, and how do you work out like where the practice is going? And what were kind of the big ticket things for you?
Yeah, I think it was just going back to basics, to be honest. I mean, if I explain a bit about the context of the partnership I was joining, similar to Amy's practice when she joined, we've had quite a few retirements over the last few years, and our senior partner retired after 30 odd years this April. Who's left is basically sort of relatively new GP partners, certainly in the last, you know, 5 years young. And so that sort of organizational memory and the way things had always been done has just suddenly disappeared. And while that was daunting and scary, we also saw it as an opportunity, actually. And I think what Pathway to Partnership gave me initially was actually the confidence to question the status quo and how things have always been done. With backing for new ideas and, okay, things have always been done this way, but what about doing it this way? And so I felt like it was a real solid grounding for starting a partnership, because actually, as a new team, we needed to look at all the processes, all the basics, really, of how we operate, and try to sort of build that and operate it in a way that we wanted to going forward, in a way that's sort of sustainable. The other things were around sort of the leadership skills and understanding yourself. I think that's where leadership really starts, is knowing where your strengths and weaknesses are. And the Pathway to Partnership course, the two sessions on leadership, really sort of looked into that in a bit more detail around personality traits, the way we like to work, how we work when we're under stress. The things that I've tried to take back into practice, we're now all on board with lots of the principles that I learned in the Pathway to Partnership. It did take some time. I was the only one that did this particular new to partnership course. But I think over time, the things that I've learned with Amy and the team around strategy and operations, we're now much more data led. We make decisions based on evidence and data, whereas before it was very much, it felt like it was very much on the things we're feeling rather than looking at numbers and looking at the data in order to inform our decision making. And that's really helped make us feel a bit more secure in the decisions that we're making. It's a lot easier to get everybody on board.
So what's been like the overall impact on the practice and I guess the staff and the patients as well?
It's been massive, to be honest. Please don't get me wrong. This is still work in progress. We absolutely have not nailed it. We're still working on improving, and I don't think that's ever going to stop. We're never going to feel like we've arrived. But number one, what it has given us is a bit more flexibility to weather the storm of the NHS at the moment. There are so many pressures coming at us from all directions, so many requests. But I think we're really trying to get our processes aligned, get our strategy clear, get our vision clear, so that when these things sideline us a bit and take us off track, actually, we know we can get back on track a lot quicker. We can weather those storms a lot easier. So from a practice perspective, that's been revolutionary, really. I think from a patient perspective, as I said, again, being more data-led and being more transparent over what it's like in our practice, how much we are doing, to be able to give them the facts, I think that's really helped. And certainly it's helped to get our PPG on board with the decisions that we've made and with how we're working. We also, off the back of Pathway to Partnership, we took on board the GPIP program. And again, that really supported us to be more data-led. And we identified a real issue was for our patients getting through to us on the phone. And so we went back to basics again and audited the demand, tried to work out how to divert demand that wasn't appropriate for reception, implement changes. We changed our phone message, for example, to try and ensure that patients had the right signposting even before they got to speak to receptionists, so that they knew that if they did speak to receptionists, then that was appropriate. So lots of these things have shown great improvement, and we hope our approach has also improved patient experience, although given the challenges and the demand capacity mismatch at the moment, you know, that's still an ongoing goal, really, to try and improve patient experience. But from that side of things, we have seen some good improvements. And I think finally, I mean, from the patient perspective, again, off the back of Pathway to Partnership, I sort of put my hand up to say, look, I really want to develop our patient participation group, our PPG, you know, encourage new members, let's get them working with us, let's listen to their feedback and let's, you know, properly take on board what they've asked and work with them to work on improvements. Let's invite them to our flu clinics. Let's invite them to engagement events and plan those together. And so we've had quite a big number of increase now in members, and really our PPG meetings feel a lot more alive. You know, with our collective action, we went to them to hear their thoughts and to try and make sure we keep them on board. And actually, that meeting was probably the most heartwarming meeting I've been to recently, where they were all showing such support and thanks and gratitude really for what our practice has been able to offer them despite the challenges, and that they're fully in support of the collective action. So I think we've been working towards this, and I think the last couple of years since I finished Pathway to Partnership really has been the building blocks to that, because as I said before, we've tried to be a lot more transparent with our communications, show them the information, show them the data. And with that, we've managed to kind of bring our patients along in that journey.
Sounds amazing what you've achieved. I mean, lots of practices struggle, don't they, with their PPGs, particularly around how do you get more of a cross-section of the population and it not just being like the same old faces who are there. You said you expanded sort of membership. How did you manage to do that?
So using social media, we've sort of started a Facebook page for our practice. So lots of kind of communication goes out into the wider population through that. We've had a drop-in evening where people were welcome to drop in and speak to one of our partners around any concern that they had for our practice. But through that, he kind of addressed the demand capacity issue, the contract issue, but also encouraged people, you know, if they wanted to have a voice and be involved, to join the PPG as well. We recognize that it will be a certain demographic, a certain cohort of our practice population who feel comfortable and confident enough to join a PPG. It's not going to be for everyone. There will also be issues with, you know, whether you're working or not working, digital exclusion, all that. But I think what we're trying to do now is approach the PPG slightly differently. We have our core group of members that come to our meetings. We have a mailing list for our sort of virtual members who want to just chip in through email if and when they can. But we're also thinking about how we engage particular cohorts of people that might not feel that their voices are heard. So we're trying to plan a carers engagement session, essentially, in the spring, to personally invite our registered carers to something that's just for them so that we can hear their voices and their views. So trying to maybe hold targeted patient engagement events or sessions where we can better hear the voice of the whole demographic.
That's really impressive. In fact, your whole journey sounds really impressive. Amy, Naomi sounds like a bit of a star. Is that common that people develop as rapidly as Naomi has? Or what's kind of your experience of people going through the course?
I think for me, one of the purposes of me developing and creating the program and still staying in practice is to develop a network of peers. Partnership can be quite a lonely role within general practice. Part of the legacy of being on the program is you become part of what we call the QIP, which is the Qualitas Important People, which is a network where cohorts come together and share ideas. And we become a team and a network of people that speak a common language and have a common purpose. So Naomi's not on her own. She is a shining star, of course. It's not so much teaching, it's more mentoring. We deliver a lot of theory, a lot of MBA type theory. We have professors delivering on the program, academics delivering on the program. But what we do is relate that to practical, workable projects or solutions where we share ideas across the cohort of partners that we have on the program. And one of the final sessions that we wrap up with is really about putting the patient at the center of everything that we do. We finish on what we've done with our PPG. So it wraps it up because we talk about PPGs being led, PPGs having a vision, having a purpose. And I think they are such a valuable asset. Giving them a vision and a purpose and a role within primary care is really valuable, but also rewarding for them. Some of the examples that we give on the program is that they support with helping patients with digital access. They support with promoting self-care and screening programs. That example that Naomi's given is a real example of how through the program, the partners know how to lead, how to deliver a vision through a strategy, and then how to operationalize that. And I think that's a really good example that Naomi's presented there.
What would be like your top tip from each of you for someone taking on a new partnership or a new leadership role, you know, reflecting back on all your own experiences and the experiences you've seen in others? What would be your top tip for them taking on those roles, say they're taking it on today?
For me, my senior partner who brought me in, who is now retiring but co-delivers with me on the programme, he always used the phrase, you are a custodian of the practice for the period of time that you are there. The top tip for me would be, you aren't alone in that, and we're all learning. we are all small to medium businesses and we don't have to do it independently. Having a network and a team of peers through going on a program like this, even though I don't like to say teach, but even though I deliver the program, I'm there to learn and create that network across like-minded individuals to bring that learning back into our organization and into our workforce. So the top tip for me is to be open-minded about the opportunities that we have being a small business owner and the benefits that we can deliver not only for our workforce, but for our patients.
My top tip would be, or top tips, I think, absolutely find a new to partnership course if you can. I'm not sure if the funding, I think the funding might have gone, but you know, it's well worth the cost because I think what you learn and what you bring back to your practice will repay that with dividends. I think, you know, stay curious. It can feel daunting when you become a new partner. There is so much to learn, but actually, you know, from your own experience and your skills and things that you will learn anyway in life, you know, don't be afraid to question why things are done a certain way. That's something that general practice is for me. It's a continuous evolution of the practice and of the business. And we have to be willing to change and improve and innovate to survive, but also for the enjoyment of it. I think that if you get too stagnated and too stuck in the old ways, I think that can make general practice and partnership very boring.
Well, it's been great talking to you both. You bring a lot of energy and positivity, which is well needed, I think, at this time in general practice. If people want more information about the course, where can they find out about it, Amy?
QualitasConsortium.uk on their website. Also, Qualitas Consortium is on social media. It's rebranded itself as Pathway 4 Partnership. When Naomi did it, it was Pathway 2 because it was predominantly focused around the new to partnership funding. But we've had partners on this program, not only that are new to partnership, but have been partners for 5, 10 years plus and are still benefiting from the program. So it's now Pathway 4 Partnership.
Perfect. Well, we'll put those links on the show notes. People want to access them. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And I wish you all the best for the future.
Thanks, Ben. Bye.
Thank you.
The General Practice Podcast from Ockham Healthcare, supporting innovation in general practice.